Christian Science preaches the kingdom of God and heals the sick. The lecture will be delivered by Frank T. Horde of Washington, D.C., a member of the Board of Lectureship of the Mother Church, the first church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. And now may I present Mr. Horde.
Thank you, Mrs. Kroger, for your gracious introduction. And my friends, good evening. Christ Jesus is our great master. He taught the people by the seaside, on the hills, and in the valleys. His teachings were tender and compassionate, full of the Father's loving provision for his creation. He healed the multitudes who sought him. Jesus used parables and sermons to illustrate the Father's love. He taught his hearers by the simple things in their own daily experience. He said that a shepherd had 100 sheep and that one strayed. The shepherd left the 99 to seek out the lost one. At another time he said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you?" He reminded them, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Tonight, in this quiet hour, we are going to consider the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love within. May we feel the tender presence of divine love. May we experience the power of the healing Christ. John the Baptist came declaring, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now in reality, right here in your own consciousness, is the law of harmony, the reign of peace. Every condition of man's existence is in perfect adjustment and perfect concord now. In many languages, good is a term for God. And so the kingdom of God means the kingdom of good, the law of perfection and harmony. John the Baptist preached that this kingdom of heaven is here and now. And as he presented this great truth to the people, he told them how to experience it. He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He urged them to turn from the material sense of existence and to be baptized, that is, to be cleansed and purified with the spiritual sense of existence. John was honest with the people. He told them that he was just the forerunner of someone to come whose shoes he was not worthy to unloose. Then Jesus appeared. The humble Nazarene came to John to be baptized of him. Jesus not only confirmed John's teaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but Jesus gave also the fuller revelation that the kingdom of heaven is within. Luke tells us, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. These inspired words show us that the kingdom of heaven is not far off. It is not to be gained through the material senses. The kingdom of heaven is a state of spiritual consciousness, the reign of harmony within. The continuity of this glad theme was prophesied by Christ Jesus. In a parable, he likened the kingdom of heaven to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, this prophecy is being fulfilled today in the revelation of Christian Science. The Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, is the most revolutionary book of all ages. In this precious volume, Mary Baker Eddy sets forth the divine laws of life, truth, and love, the science of the Christ. This divine science is a leaven of truth, and it is changing the thought of the world today. Thousands are turning from material medicine to the curative principle, divine mind, for healing. Material science is fast coming to Mrs. Eddy's revelation of the unreality of matter. For instance, Lincoln Barnett has written an interesting book called The Universe and Dr. Einstein. And in this book, he makes some very significant statements, and I would like to quote. This is from page 11 of the original edition. Thus gradually, philosophers and scientists arrived at the startling conclusion that since every object is simply the sum of its qualities, and since qualities exist only in the mind, the whole objective universe of matter and energy, atoms and stars, does not exist except as a construction of the consciousness, an edifice of conventional symbols shaped by the senses of man. Now, this was not written by a Christian scientist. It was written by one of our top-thinking physical scientists of today. And he tells us that the whole objective universe of matter doesn't even exist except as a construction of the consciousness shaped by the senses of man. And this probably reminds many of us of Mrs. Eddy's statement from Science and Health. An image of mortal thought reflected on the retina is all that the eye beholds. And she tells us in her book, Unity of Good, everything is as real as you make it, and no more so. What you see, hear, feel is a mode of consciousness and could have no other reality than the sense you entertain of it. Mrs. Eddy tells us that the Bible was her only textbook. She founded Christian Science on the teachings and the demonstrations of Christ Jesus, on the lives of the apostles and prophets. The Bible is essential in the life of every Christian scientist. We turn to its inspired pages every day for life, for help, for supply and happiness. This is the authorized King James version that we use, and it is read in all Christian Science churches in English-speaking countries in conjunction with Science and Health. In night watches of great distress, in the face of threatening danger, in times of sorrow and in times of gladness, we turn to the Bible for inspiration. We are uplifted. We are enlightened and healed. In the words of Isaiah, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." God reveals His presence and power through the sacred pages of the Bible. And it was while Mrs. Eddy was reading the 9th chapter of Matthew that she was healed by the revelation of the power of God. This was following an accident which her physician had pronounced as fatal. She tells us in her miscellaneous writings, "As I read, the healing truth dawned upon my sense, and the result was that I rose, dressed myself, and ever after was in better health than I had before enjoyed." This healing inspired Mrs. Eddy to search the Scriptures still further until she discovered the spiritual laws of life, truth, and love which had healed her. She named her discovery Christian Science. This science of the Christ, this leaven of truth, is the spiritual understanding of the coexistence of God and man, of the absolute inseparability of God and man, of mind and its idea. This spiritual understanding constitutes the kingdom of heaven within, the reign of universal harmony. Many misconceptions of heaven are presented by the human mind, but Mrs. Eddy defines the divine idea of heaven with great clarity in Science and Health. Heaven, harmony, the reign of spirit, government by divine principle, spirituality, bliss, the atmosphere of soul. Tonight, we're going to consider just one part of this definition. Heaven, government by divine principle. And doesn't it follow that all true government must be government by divine principle? We find that the solution of every problem, family, business, church, or government, is based on the spiritual understanding of God, of divine principle, love. Divine principle is the ever-present, living God. Principle is the primal cause, the source and origin of all being. Our every thought, motive, and desire must conform to God's law, to God's irresistible law of perfection. And it's only as we conform that we're obedient to divine principle. But, someone may say, but how can I uphold a righteous government and demonstrate it when everything seems so chaotic? There are constant threats of war. Mankind is being frightened by medical propaganda of disease and death, and the uncertainty of what we call the atomic age alarms us. The answer to these questions is right at hand. It's an imperative answer, final, absolute. And this answer is, it's in these words of our textbook: the God principle is omnipresent and omnipotent. God is everywhere, and nothing apart from Him is present or has power. At all times. And this is especially true when the heads of government are meeting in conference to solve world problems. It is our duty to know that the one infinite mind is omnipresent as divine principle. To know that the one infinite divine mind is motivating thought and action. The divine mind is outlining, directing, controlling thought and action. Divine mind is revealing its plan and purpose. Divine intelligence is present, bringing order out of seeming chaos. In all places where the arguments of minds many may claim to be present, right here the God principle is omnipresent and omnipotent. On the battlefield, in the air, on the sea, or under the sea, the God principle is the omnipresent law of good. It protects and heals all who turn to it. Divine principle, with its fixed rules, is demonstrating law and order. Its law of perfection is supreme, and the demonstration of this law forever disposes of the lawlessness of the carnal mind. Divine principle underlies all true existence, underlies it, overlies it, encompasses it. The divine, irresistible God principle is everywhere present. This divine principle is the infinite, all-pervading intelligence of divine mind. This law of God is operative when we appeal to it earnestly and obey it. It is ever available to destroy the errors of the carnal mind. No secret council chamber can resist it. No blind hypnotic suggestions can oppose it. And no mortal mentality can legislate against it. In the Science and Health we read, the divine understanding reigns, is all, and there is no other consciousness. Everything exists in and as consciousness. Consciousness is fundamental. The awareness and recognition of omnipresent good brings good into concrete being. I'd like to repeat that. The awareness and recognition of omnipresent good brings good into concrete being. That is, good is manifested as our present experience. The anticipation of good, like faith, is the substance of things hoped for. Then let us live the inspiration and harmony of ever-present good. For all good is present, in perfect substance, beauty, and sufficiency. The banquet table of divine love is spread before us. The pure river of water of life inspires us and satisfies us. The Christ power is present. Present to speak that peace be still to all propaganda and false prophecies. The kingdom of heaven is intact. O taste and see that the Lord is good. A Christian Science practitioner I know saw the kingdom of heaven appear in the life of a young friend. Now, this young woman believed that she was strongly opposed to Christian Science. Her husband and his family loved Christian Science very much. Now, she asked the family to refrain from any effort to induce her to become a Christian Scientist. Then, a year or two after their marriage, she was faced with a physical difficulty. One of the leading surgeons in her state advised an immediate operation for a thyroid tumor. Her husband then told her, But since this operation involved him in a good many ways, he felt that he would be relieved if he would see a friend of his who was a Christian Science practitioner. The practitioner was asked to come to their home to discuss the situation. When she arrived there, the young wife spoke of her opposition to Christian Science. Now, of course, she was only opposed to what she believed Christian Science to be. But it was during this conversation that she spoke of her sincere desire to understand God. Then the practitioner saw the cause of the trouble. The cause was a false concept of God, a misconception of the true nature of God. Now, she knew that ignorance of God could not hide the purity of the Christ and the beauty of holiness, which were so evident in the young woman. She assured her that Christian Science could heal her. The young wife asked to have Christian Science treatment. The practitioner asked her if she would read the 23rd Psalm. She replied, "I shall be glad to. I love the Bible." The Christian Science practitioner turned wholly to God in silent prayer. As she prayed, her consciousness was illumined with the meaning of the seven synonyms of God, as found in Science and Health. These synonyms are life, truth, love, principle, spirit, soul, mind. This Pentecostal light flooded her consciousness with the realization that spirit, God, is all in all. She realized that the spiritual truth would dispel everything unlike God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, as the Bible tells us. The following day, the young wife telephoned her that the tumor was gone. But 3 days later, the statement of healing was verified by the surgeon. And my friends, I believe that you'd be interested in knowing more about the seven synonymous terms for God that brought this healing. Mrs. Eddy defines God in Science and Health. She writes, "God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love." Now, in considering these seven distinctive terms, of course, we must realize that they combine as one. There is one God. God, being infinite, must be eternal and perfect. The Scriptures declare, "The Lord our God is one Lord." As we gain, step by step, an understanding of the spiritual meaning of these terms, we find the nature and presence of God gradually dawning upon our thought and being manifested in our daily experience. You may say, "Yes, I have read that God is love, but what can that do for me? I'm lonely, I'm sick, I'm poor." Well, Christian Science replies that the acceptance of the divine truth that God is love and that man is a reflection of ever-present love can heal every lonely heart and cure every ill. The spiritual understanding of the ever-presence of divine love is the primal law of Christian Science, mind healing. I'd like to tell you about a young woman I know who proved this vital truth. She called at the office of a Christian Science practitioner and asked for Christian Science treatment. She said that because of the excessive drinking of alcohol, she was not able to hold a position. Her friends were fast disappearing. Her family was desperate. She said that she felt disgraced and alone. The Christian Science practitioner explained to her that God is love, divine, all-inclusive love, and that her real selfhood was included in divine love, fed and satisfied and loved by divine love. They further talked about the power of divine love, the tenderness, the love that sustains, that supplies, and that meets all human needs. The patient was receptive to this true idea of the nature of divine love, and it awakened her to the deceptive nature of the carnal appetites of mortal mind. This is what Mrs. Eddy has to say about these carnal appetites. Their supposed joys are cheats. Their narrow limits belittle their gratifications and hedge about their achievements with thorns. My friend had felt these thorns, and she was so ready to be rid of them. She had received some spiritual insight into the power of divine love and the unreality of evil. This revealed her true birthright of freedom and dominion. The healing began that very day, and it was completed in a short time. The desire for liquors and tobacco disappeared, and her health was restored, and she found a very much more interesting position. Of course, this healing brought happiness to her family and her friends, too. Our leader, Mrs. Eddy, laid great stress on the healing power of divine love. She once asked a class, "What is the best way to do instantaneous healing?" Various answers were given, and then she replied, and this is the substance of it, "I will tell you the way to do it. It is to love. Just live love. Be it. Love, love, love. Do not know anything but love. The all love. There is nothing else. That will do the work. It will heal everything. It will raise the dead. Be nothing but love." That's the end of that quotation. The manifestation of divine love is the functioning presence of the healing Christ. Let me repeat that. The manifestation of divine love is the functioning presence of the healing Christ. Our Master, Christ Jesus, demonstrated divine love by healing the sick and raising the dead. The hearts of Christian Scientists are alive with gratitude and love for our Savior, Christ Jesus. Christian Science makes a distinction between the human Jesus and the divine idea or Christ. Jesus was the highest earthly concept of the divine idea, or Christ. The Christ was the divinity of the man Jesus, and the Christ is the divine nature of the real man. It is the godliness that animates him. Jesus understood God as source, as primal cause, perfect and eternal, as our Father, which art in heaven. He discerned that man is the image and likeness of God, and that everything that was true about God was true about himself as God's reflection. Because he was a reflection of spirit, a full manifestation of mind, all there was to him was what he expressed of God. To the Jews he declared, "I and my Father are one." And to Philip, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Now, Jesus recognized that this understanding of the true nature of God and man is the Christ, the Son of God, the real man. And so, in his daily affairs, he lived the Christ. He lived the true idea of God. It was this spiritual understanding that healed the multitudes, the spiritual understanding that reformed the sinner and raised the dead. Mrs. Eddy discovered that what Jesus understood and what he claimed for himself is the truth about every man. This understanding is here today to be proved by every one of us as his own divine being, or the Christ. The operation of this understanding in our daily affairs constitutes Christian Science treatment. We have considerably more to say about Christian Science treatment tonight, but right now I would like to give you another illustration of how Christian Science heals. And I do hope that you are aware of the simplicity, the directness, and the natural normal order of unfoldment. In the early days of World War II, I was serving as a general Protestant chaplain with an infantry division training in Texas. Now, the day before Christmas, I spent the afternoon and the evening calling on all the men in my regiment who were in the hospital. And just as I was about to leave the hospital that night, someone told me that another soldier had arrived and that he'd been placed on the critical list. His family had been notified that he would not live. I went to that ward right away and asked the nurse about this soldier, and her first words were, "Oh, he is such a good boy." I realize that God is good, and that the goodness expressed by this young soldier was his true conscious identity. I realize that no evil could befall God's image and likeness. The words from one of our hymns in the Christian Science hymnal came to me. "The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack, for I am his, and he is mine forever." I assured this young soldier of God's loving care. Then the words from Science and Health came with realization. "The good you do and embody gives you the only power obtainable." I'll not go into detail, but in spite of many medical laws that seemed to be held over him, this young soldier did live, and he did return after a short period of time to full infantry duty. Those words that came to me so clearly that Christmas Eve still ring in my heart. "The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Christ Jesus commanded his followers to go forth and preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. The kingdom of heaven was the basic theme of his teachings and of his life work. He taught that the all-harmonious principle of our being is ever present. He began the Lord's Prayer with, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." The Master revealed the subjective nature of the kingdom of heaven. He said, "It is within." That is, it is within one's own consciousness. And it is within one's own consciousness that enlightenment takes place. Within one's own consciousness that the science of being is demonstrated. Within one's own consciousness that problems are solved. In Science and Health we read, "Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind, in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal, because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the Scripture says." This clear scientific fact, that heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind, dispels the ignorance and the superstition of the ages. It destroys forever the false belief that man must die to find a place of peace and happiness. It reveals the divine truth that man must live the life that is God, in order to experience harmony and immortality, to find peace and happiness. Mrs. Eddy tells us in Science and Health, "Perfect and infinite mind, enthroned is heaven." And my friends, when we are spiritually aware of the presence and the power of divine love, that is the reign of spirit within. This divine law of spirit operates in the inward parts, everywhere in fact. It is a law of harmony to every detail of our being. It is the consciousness of infinite good, the consciousness of the infinity of abundance and of the abundance of infinity right at hand. Moses was aware of this infinity of good when he heard God say to him, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." As a Christian Scientist, I know, was sitting at her desk one morning, and she happened to place her hand over one eye. To her dismay, she discovered that she could not see out of the uncovered eye. A sudden sense of fear troubled her. Instantly, she began to realize the truth. She declared, "This error is no part of God, therefore no part of man, God's image and likeness." Now she spent a few moments in quiet prayer, and then she turned to miscellaneous writings by Mrs. Eddy, and this is what she found. "No evidence before the material senses can close my eyes to the scientific proof that God, good, is supreme." This was her answer, straight from God. She saw that she must open her eyes to a clearer insight that God, good, is supreme. From that moment, she began to work with a newness of purpose to magnify good. In a short time, her vision was normal. The goodness of God had passed before her, and she had experienced the harmony of its presence. In this way, she had proved that the kingdom of God is at hand. She had demonstrated that it is accessible and adequate and available. Now, it is from the very basis of the allness of good. The Christian Science demonstrates the unreality or nothingness of evil. Now, this heals both the sick and the sinning. Mrs. Eddy teaches that the mission of Christian Science is primarily to heal sin. To do this, sin must be self-seen as sin. The deception and ugliness of sin must be uncovered and then cast out as no part of the real man. Now, this is illustrated by the incident of the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. As Jesus talked with this woman, he was apparently faced with one of our modern problems. She had disregarded the moral law, and Jesus was aware of it. But what did our Master talk to her about? He spoke to her of a living water, of the truth of being. He revealed the Christ to her, the true nature of God and man, the kingdom of truth within. Now, Mrs. Eddy has so beautifully explained how Jesus healed. She writes, "Jesus beheld in Science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. To see man as God's own likeness is the true method of healing. It saves and reforms. Salvation is experienced as the human yields to the divine. It is the daily and hourly putting off of the old man with his fears and sins. It is the putting on of a new man through the recognition of man's divine nature as the image of God. Salvation is attained through obeying the moral and the spiritual laws of the Ten Commandments, and by living the precepts of the Sermon on the Mount in our daily affairs." Doesn't the Apostle Paul tell us that salvation is not a future state of being, but that salvation is now? Today is the day of salvation from all the ills of the carnal mind. All good is present today because God is everywhere. Perhaps someone listening tonight has heard this question. Do Christian Scientists pray? The answer is yes. We certainly do pray. We pray spiritually and scientifically. And what is scientific prayer? Well, scientific prayer is the constant realization of God's allness, God's presence, God's power, and of man's oneness with God as his reflection. True prayer is the prayer of love, the law of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Mrs. Eddy's healing work exemplified this method of prayer. And she once wrote in substance, I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space. And that divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw. This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, which healed and regenerated and saved all who turned to me for help. That's the end of that quote. This Christ-like compassion is an essential element of true prayer. It expresses itself in the tender love that heals the torn wounds, in the quietness that stills the harsh noises of the day, in the patience that soothes the fretful brow with the tranquility of soul. The purpose of Christian Science prayer or treatment is to heal physically, morally, spiritually. It is the power of God unto salvation. And there's no one so ill, so poor, so sinful, that he cannot turn to this radiant presence and feel its healing power. Christian Science practice is founded on the unerring laws of divine principle. It is not one human mind acting upon another human mind. It is not the power of mind over matter. It is the divine law of truth dispelling false beliefs. In Science and Health we read, Christian Science is a law of truth which heals the sick on the basis of the one mind, or God. God is mind, one mind, infinite, omnipresent, and the absolute knowledge of this forever disposes of the belief that there is another mind, separate from God. The one infinite mind is all-knowing consciousness. What mind knows about itself? Its infinity, its allness, its perfection is manifested by mind's creation, man and the universe. Christian Science teaches that spirit, mind, is all, and that all creation exists in mind, and therefore it must be spiritual and harmonious. The one infinite mind, or divine consciousness, is forever reflected by its spiritual ideas. These ideas manifest the intelligent, spiritual, loving nature of mind. Scientific thoughts are right ideas. They find expression in right activity. They result in health, prosperity, and safety. The sinful, lawless, unloving beliefs of the carnal mind claim to manifest themselves as disease, poverty, and accident. But these false beliefs are unreal and untrue. They have no effect on one who understands that God, the one infinite mind, is ever present. Christian Science teaches the incorporeal nature of God and the incorporeal nature of man. Now, this is a very vital part of Christian Science healing. God, mind, is incorporeal. That is, without a fleshly or material body. Man, the image of mind, is incorporeal, without a fleshly or material body. Man is the compound idea of God, the embodiment of spiritual ideas. Doesn't the Bible tell us, ye are the temple of the living God? The temple of the living God. Man's real body is his spiritual identity. It is constituted of spiritual ideas and governed by the law of truth. None of these ideas can be broken, severed, or mutilated. The real body is indivisible and indestructible. No suggestion of discord, disease, or sin can control the real body. Neither can any ugliness of age or decrepitude deface it. No arguments of a personal sense of life or of a finite material body can hide the glorious spiritual identity of the real man. Now, what appears to the senses as a mortal man with a material body made up of brain, heart, lungs, and other material organs is a misconception of the real man. When the fact that man is not a material physique is admitted, the ills of the flesh begin to disappear. Taking less thought of a material body, we experience more freedom and dominion. I recently read a very interesting article that was written, or was published quite some time ago, by the Christian Science Publishing Society. And I would like to quote in part from this article. According to physics, this material body, which is called man, is 75% water. If you weigh 160 pounds, 120 pounds of that is water. And according to physiology, this entire body undergoes complete reconstruction once in 3 to 7 years. The water that largely constituted your physical body a few years ago has floated away in vapor and perchance settled in some lakelet. A goose drinks it, and then it is goose. Is that water any more intelligence when it says it is man than when it says it is goose? When is it the greater goose? When it struts itself a man or when it waddles itself a goose? That was written by our good friend Dr. Francis J. Fluno. As many of you know, Dr. Fluno at one time had been a material medical doctor. He turned to Christian Science for healing. Later on, he became a Christian Science practitioner, a Christian Science lecturer, and a Christian Science teacher. What is the fundamental foe of mankind? The carnal mind claims to present various aspects of destruction, disease, and sin. But what is the fundamental foe? Fear is the fundamental foe of mankind. The destruction of fear relieves the symptoms of every disease. The destruction of fear is the peace, be still, in every Christian Science treatment. John, the beloved disciple, assures us that fear is no part of divine love, and that ever-present love casts out fear. The dream nature of fear must be seen for what it is, an illusion of the carnal mind. Fear does not exist as an entity or a fact. It is without basic cause. and it has no law to support it. Neither has it any presence or reality. Fear has only the power that you give it. If fear seems to come in like a flood, we can quietly say, this is not my consciousness. This is an imposition of a carnal mind. It is not true. So, in the strength of our spiritual identity, we lift up a standard against the enemy. Jesus never admitted that error was any part of his consciousness. He maintained his Christliness in the face of every circumstance. He is our way shower. Let the kingdom of harmony reign within you. Today, this liberating law of love is unfolding the infinity of good. The beautiful promise that God made to Abraham may be fulfilled in your own experience. We read from the book of Genesis. And the Lord said unto Abram, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. This very same promise that God made to Abraham is made to us. This moment, let us lift up our vision. Let us look out from the Christ consciousness through the lens of infinity. Let us behold the allness and oneness of God and man. Then we shall see the completeness and perfection of life. One life and its infinite expression, a spiritual man, the male and female of God's creating. The promise reads, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. How far can you see? Sight is spiritual discernment. Sight is spiritual understanding. Let divine truth enlarge the boundaries of your spiritual discernment and reveal the kingdom within. My friends, in conclusion, I assure you that if you will look into this infinity of omnipresent good, all doubt, all limitation, imperfection will forever fall from your eyes. You will experience the kingdom of heaven right here and now. This heavenly kingdom is the present realization of the coexistence of God and man, the reign of the all-inclusive Christ consciousness. Let the kingdom of heaven within you reign. I thank you, my friends, and good evening.